We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. That guy over there, still the incomparable Dan Rubenstein. We are the Solid Verbal once more. SolidVerbal.com is how you can check out the website. Not just for our old episodes, but also for some of the cool articles that we're posting throughout the course of a given week. Verballers.com is where you can get this show and all of our shows a day early via our early access. You also get access to the Discord server that is teeming, overflowing with eager college football fans known as our trusty Verballers. That is courtesy of our Patreon again at verballers.com. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm great. I don't have song lyrics today because I like to keep people on edge. Will Dan get real weird with how he starts beginning his conversation with Ty at the top of the preview episode? Will he not? I do not have that today, but I spent all of the time I would have spent thinking of good song lyrics to tie into the week into coming up with actually a couple potential titles for this Saturday's slate.
So did I, actually. Yeah.
I am quite excited for this episode because I see a tumultuous, fascinating, entertaining, and noteworthy week ahead. Week four, I know you've looked at week five as like your big banger week.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Week five. But with part of the center of the college football universe coming to my greater area, the Chicagoland area, I feel the vibes, Ty. I'm feeling the vibes all around. I think Jeff Schwartz of Big Boy Bets, subscribe bigboybets.show. I think he's coming to town to do some stuff for the Notre Dame Wisconsin matchup. So I'm going to give him some Valley Circle pizza. We're going to have good times. So I'm pumped.
Speaking of good times. Breaking news. I won't.
Do we have breaking news?
Well, we do have breaking news.
Oh, dope.
To some extent. Some of you will know that we did a live stream last Saturday morning on our YouTube channel. It was kind of impromptu. It was a bit of an experiment. We wanted to see how it would go, if people would watch. We actually were pretty thrilled with the way it turned out. So
yeah.
We're going to do it again.
Oh, absolutely.
The Solid Saturday will ride once more this coming Saturday, 11 Eastern. It will be through our YouTube channel exclusively. Everybody can access it. It's not a Patreon thing, anything like that. It is solidsaturday.com is the URL. That's where you can go if you just want to get a quick redirect on over to our stream. All are welcome.
11 a.m. Eastern.
11 a.m. Eastern.
So it's an hour before kickoff, solidsaturday.com. Last week, we evaluated our excitement for windows for specific matchups on a scale of 1 to 5 jacked Chris Fowlers.
Correct.
That's correct. He had posted a picture of himself, and the dude, for being in his 50s, is just jacked, and we celebrate that. And so we had a lot of fun. We answered questions, we previewed games and windows, and it was a fun back and forth that people seem to really enjoy. So if you have, you know, if you can watch YouTube on your TV, right? Yep. If you have like an over the top streamer, you can look at our Mama H on the phone called us the most handsome duo in college football podcasting. So full 1080p, what could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? No. Yeah. SolidSaturday.com. We bought that domain to make it easy for you to find the stream. But of course, you can go on out to the YouTube channel, subscribe, you'll be notified of what we're working on. But we're excited about that little side project that we've wanted to do for a while. Now we've got the time and the resources. And yeah, let's go pedal to the metal. So join us on Saturday morning as you are prepping for Scratch and Sniff Saturday, Dan.
Oh my God, I'm already excited about this. Continue.
Scratch and Sniff Saturday is what I settled on.
Okay.
Here is my thought process through what, 3 weeks now? 3.5 weeks if you count week zero.
Yeah, the pie chart of how long we prepped for, I don't know, Oklahoma State, K-State, and how long we prepped for, we got to come up with a new alliteration.
It's very disproportionate.
Got to come up with a new alliteration.
It is disproportionate, truly, honestly.
It's okay. It's who we are.
Scratch and Sniff Saturday, because through 3.5 weeks of the college football season, the one thing that we, I think, find when we do our research is that we can look at all the advanced metrics, all the numbers until we're blue in the face. We still don't really have any good reference points, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Few and far between.
There are certain teams where you're just like, okay. And we asked this to Bill Connolly last week on the news show on WSV on our Friday news show. It's like, who do we like have an actual realistic sense for based on their opponents thus far? And he named like 2.5 teams.
So I'm looking for something tactile. I'm looking to pick up a scent here. And now as we got more teams in conference play, I think we're going to have a chance to actually get a little bit of that scratch, a little bit of that waft. Give me that scent. Give me that sniff to find out what these teams actually are or are not after week four going into the rest of the season.
I think mine is both big picture and small picture. Because as I was selecting games and as I was looking at who I liked, my year-long theme thus far of leaning into the dogs just keeps happening. Like, I just keep convincing myself of various dogs. And so at first I thought to myself, well, it's Sauerkraut Saturday. Come on, what are we talking about here? There's a fermentation involved. It's good for your stomach to get it all out, right?
Yeah.
Sauerkraut Saturday.
Yeah.
But then I thought to myself, I can do better than that. Dogs don't just have to be hot dogs. So then I settled on the multifaceted element of St. Bernard Saturday. Big dog. Big dog
for me. It's a very big dog.
And also I could see a number of teams needing the brandy in a barrel that a St. Bernard used to bring to, I think, avalanche victims?
Yeah, correct.
While to stay warm, which Wikipedia told me was, quote, medically unsound, which is a great turn of phrase.
Who thought that? Okay.
I know. I think Scratch and Sniff Saturday is the move, though. As nice a visual as St. Bernard Saturday is, I like Scratch and Sniff. Because I also considered Cinderella Mirror Saturday, because there's going to be a lot of self-reflection, self-awareness Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So
sure.
The fairest of them all, I don't know if that gets determined this week. But yeah,
well,
Scratch
and
Sniff.
Another angle here. Another angle here was brought to us by our friend Connor, who writes the Solid Slate, which you can find on solidverbal.com.
The best.
Select your own window of opportunity Saturday.
It's longer. It's for sure longer. Kind of a mouthful,
but
I'm not
going
anywhere with what I just said. Continue.
No, not at all. I think it holds, though, because as we look through this slate of games, it really depends on who your team is. Mm-hmm. It is not, at least on the surface, the kind of week that jumps off the page with an immaculate level of killer games, right? There are a couple that are definitely of note. We're going to go through as many as we can here over the next hour or so. But at least to the eye, I think you have the luxury of finding the games that mean the most to you and then enjoying your day otherwise. select your window Saturday. I have some suggestions as we go through. I will talk about why I think the nightcap is when you can go out, enjoy something on the town with your significant other, with your friends, whoever, and get yourself ready. Earn that capital now. Bank that capital before we get to week five, because week five is a banger.
On my fantasy team, I have, Ty says, the weeks without huge matchups are the weeks that get you. That's what I had. And I really thought I was going to nail it with this, but you stopped just short of it. So I'm a little bit bummed about that. Yeah, I did that Friday night.
Exactly.
Even though UCF Louisville ended up being a terrific game. I decided to, you know, went out with Jody with an I and another couple, a Michigan couple. Ty, it was a very Michigan heavy evening. And we went to a bar after with a nice, nice outdoor patio. I mentioned there was a cover band playing all sorts of hits. It's great. So yeah, it's good to get out and about.
Let's dive in.
Dan, time, help, I need picks of the week.
Week four is upon us. It is the last full week of September, if you can believe that. Crazy that we are now into week four of the college football season. We appreciate you being on this odyssey of the college football world with us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start at high noon on ESPN. We got LSU -3 on the road at your Mississippi State Bulldogs, Dan.
Yeah.
So now listen. You may recall this game from a year ago.
Sorry.
May recall this game from a year ago.
Yeah.
This was the KJ Costello game, right? Mike Leach comes over to Mississippi State. KJ Costello, the transfer in there. Like, what are we going to get? Can the air raid work in the SEC? He throws for over 600 yards. He had 5 touchdowns. Everyone is like, whoa, what is happening here? Is Mike Leach going to just take apart the SEC limb from limb? And then they lost 4 in a row and 7 of their next 8. And it didn't really go so well. There were signs of promise. Obviously, the defense played pretty well. The defense has continued to play well. But in the end, neither team, not Mississippi State nor LSU, was all that special. LSU did get its act together a little bit more once Max Johnson got in there as the season wore on. But it wasn't a great season for either team. As we move forward now into 2021, and especially in light of what we saw last week with Mississippi State losing on the road, kind of an ugly game at Memphis, has your tune changed at all with respect to Mississippi State? You were really high in the Bulldogs going into this year.
I can't help myself because of what you just said about last year's LSU-Mississippi State game and then repercussions thereafter. What you're saying is both of those teams tried so hard and looked like they were going to get so far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter. Is that what you are saying?
I mean, I was not going to make the Linkin Park reference, but if you'd like to, by all means.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Has my tune changed about my optimism surrounding Mississippi State after last week's very strange loss, in which Mississippi State, yes, had opportunities in the second half, but also, yes, got jobbed by refs on that crazy punt return touchdown that was awarded to Memphis, even with two players wearing number 4, and that should have been a penalty as well? I don't think so. I think, as I say every year, I think a team's season is a living, breathing thing that ebbs and flows and has ups and downs. It's a sine wave. Do sine waves go up and down? I think Mississippi State is going to have that season. I don't think they're going to fall to the depths that they were at last year, but I think there are going to be weeks where they just can't get their offense going and are going to need to rely on winning, you know, 20-17 because that defense is that good. I think the defense in this game is the best unit on the field. We saw LSU struggle on both sides of the ball and on the line of scrimmage against UCLA. And while they bounced back nicely against teams they should have bounced back nicely against, Central Michigan and McNeese State, I am not there with LSU right now. I like that they've had some younger guys step up on both sides of the ball. And I know they just lost, I think, a D end for the season.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Mississippi State as a home dog here. Couldn't find a hot dog place in Starkville. They were recommending like Sonic and Cookout, and Cookout's delicious. Don't get me wrong, but I could not find a specific to Starkville place. Maybe we can get some suggestions. So I'm going to go with Mississippi State here to bounce back nicely. I think they're going to come out of that Memphis loss, maybe in the same way that Oklahoma State, you remember years ago, got jobbed on that Hail Mary that shouldn't have counted in that loss. They came out stronger after the fact. I think a similar thing is going to happen right now with Mississippi State. I think they're going to give LSU's offense problems, and I think they're going to continue to develop. It's just a hard place to win, and I don't think LSU right now is built in that way to beat Mississippi State. And the line, if you like LSU, the line seems kind of odd, right? Only 3.5 points. I'm going to go with State here. I'm going to go with Klang. I think it's going to be even though it's during the day, I think it's going to be a raucous environment. So, I'm not abandoning my cowbell wielding.
No,
brethren.
I think, Dan, I think I'm with you. Despite the fact that I kind of led off this portion of the show asking about Mississippi State, I actually have more questions about LSU. And I recall back when we did our previews, either I said it or you said it, but how you feel about LSU really is like an inkblot test. It says a lot about you, not as much about LSU. How do you feel about this LSU team right now? Because I'm looking at some of the advanced metrics. Again, it's early. We don't want to make much of that.
They're not popping big plays at all.
They're not popping big plays. First off, I see per the win probability, potentially 6 more losses on this schedule. 5 or 6 more losses on the schedule. They're not running the ball for crap. There's not a lot here to get all that excited about. So now as they kind of make this turn into the SEC schedule, they're going to have to really put up or shut up. Now they've got talent.
Corey Kiner popped a little bit last week, but like what does that mean? You know,
I don't know. And that's part of why I think scratch or sniff is really the theme here. What is LSU this year? We saw them against UCLA. UCLA took them apart, man. They took them apart.
But that's week one on the road.
Week one on the road, but UCLA was so much more physical that I can't get over that. So I'm not high really on either of these teams, but I think Mississippi State's probably the better play. I think because I trust more in their defense, and I am infinitely curious to know what the conversation, what the storyline, what the narrative is like if we go 3 more weeks into this thing after LSU squares off against Mississippi State this week and Auburn, and then a road tilt against Kentucky before the Florida game. And what is the state of the LSU Tigers at that point in time? I'm not sounding the alarm quite yet, but I am a little concerned about this team.
Sure. It should be noted, Mississippi State not generating big plays either. They've just been more consistent defensively. They've actually run the ball reasonably well, considering what that offense is. I do like their backs a good deal. And their defense just seems to be in a better place. And so, again, it's belief system for me. It's the better defense at home in a raucous atmosphere and a home dog. I can't go against that. That is core to my picking foundation, the core to the altar of
home
Dan.
Home dog Dan, right? Of course.
Home dog Dan. That's what I'm doing.
At this schedule, and the very early, again, albeit very early, numbers for LSU, it is not unforeseen to me to come up with a scenario in which LSU is looking for a new coach after this year. It's not off the table.
Oh, man. 2 years post-national championship.
I know. Not out of the realm of possibilities. I don't think it's likely,
If they have a 500-ish year, I think it's a scalding hot seat.
Yes.
It's hard for me to envision. I mean, it's new coordinators on both sides. These are the coordinators that will decide Coach O's job for sure. But man, it will be scalding. It depends on if they lose by 3 touchdowns, Mississippi State. It's all going to be the context of what the games actually look like, of course. But yeah, I think we got to wait and see. But man, that would be crazy.
Let's stay at high noon on the Fox Network. It is Notre Dame. It is Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Cone Zone, Dan. Welcome to Coney Island. Welcome to Silicon Valley. To a neutral site battle right here in your backyard, Soldier Field. Wisconsin right now is favored by 5.5. I cannot begin to imagine what Gus Johnson is going to do with this Jack Cohn storyline come Saturday. I cannot imagine what he's going to do. Did you hear the clip of when Minnesota missed the game-winning field goal against the Cardinals this past Sunday?
Minnesota. Oh, you're talking about the NFL?
Yeah. Did you hear Gus?
I'm trying to connect like Minnesota-Louisville? What? I missed it. No, I didn't see it.
It's almost like Gus had an out-of-body experience. I'm
was
seriously
happy
worried
or sad?
About that. No, I mean, just very emotional.
Okay.
Neither happy nor sad. The guy knows how to emote. He's going to have a field day with the Jack Cohn storyline. Jack Cohn, of course, transferred over from Wisconsin. He's now starting quarterback for Notre Dame. I am desperate for a Lara Quinn situation. Someone in the crowd with a half Wisconsin, half Notre Dame Jack Cohn jersey.
I don't know. Wouldn't a family member potentially feel that Wisconsin did him dirty a little bit?
Don't know.
What's your read on the matchup? Because you've watched Notre Dame closer than I have. They've had close calls, single-digit situations near the end of both Toledo and Purdue. Yep. And now Florida State is sort of along with those two schools in terms of maybe shouldn't have single-digit situations at the end. But it was at Florida State opening week, whatever. And they were actually up. That wasn't like a close the entire time. They're up like 18 relatively late. And Florida State came back. You are down on elements of Notre Dame.
I am.
And I presume down on elements of Wisconsin as well, because you watched them against your other team, Penn State. So what hangs in the balance here between these two teams when either team has the ball?
Yeah. And again, going back to what I said at the top, we love to look at advanced stats. You almost can't go on all the advanced stats here. I'm going to go on something of the eye test because I've watched all of Notre Dame's games and I did see Wisconsin, Penn State. I've seen plenty of Wisconsin as well. So
right.
I think the main thing for me is that there is a real genuine mismatch between Wisconsin's defensive line and Notre Dame's offensive line in its current state. This isn't really any kind of groundbreaking analysis. I know I've talked about it before on the show, but I think it's pretty obvious at this point. I think Notre Dame's going to have trouble running in this game, and that's going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. It was fine against a team like a Florida State or, Toledo or a Purdue. Mm-hmm. But Wisconsin's a top five defense. And I'm just not convinced Notre Dame can pull off this specific matchup, can get the better of that Wisconsin defensive line, knowing how much turmoil there is up front. You got guys playing out of position. You got third string left tackles in there. You know, it seems like it changes from week to week. I think that's going to be a problem for Notre Dame. You stop the running game, you get to Jack Cohn, it upsets the balance of the whole thing. That said, the X factor here could be Tyler Buchner. It could be Tyler Buchner because he gives them, I think, something they desperately need in this game, and that's mobility at quarterback. Basically, an extra guy that Wisconsin's got to worry about. Now, are they going to start Buchner? No, they're not going to start Buchner. Jack Cohn's going to be the guy. He's rightfully still the starter. I think he's played pretty well this season. But I think if Brian Kelly is being honest with himself, he knows that they need to use more of Buchner to keep Wisconsin honest. We'll see what happens on that front. They've used him in very limited duty. He's mostly been a runner. He's got far better wheels than I expected. And he is dynamic as a runner. Can they bring him in and get more out of the passing game with him in there? To what extent they want to use him in that capacity, I just don't know. But I do think that is something that could benefit Notre Dame. I think Wisconsin wins the game because of that very specific mismatch in the trenches. I think that will be enough to propel them over the top. I just don't know if I'm comfortable saying that they cover a 5.5 point spread at this point, because I am not sold in this offense, especially getting separation against a good team. Like, no, I haven't seen anything to suggest that they're going to be able to do that. There just aren't many guys on Wisconsin's offense that truly scare me. So I see something like a 4-point win. I told you yesterday when we chatted about this, I think it's like 21-17 Wisconsin. I think they win. I think the defense is able to stifle what Notre Dame wants to do in the running game. It just upsets the balance of the whole offense. I do think we'll see more of Tyler Buchner. I don't know if it matters, but Wisconsin wins but does not cover is my final play.
I don't get that pick at all. I like Notre Dame here.
Really?
I think there's...
To win?
Yeah, I like... Yeah, to win the game.
Ooh,
okay, man. Few things about Notre Dame. Both of these teams have been bad in the red zone, right? Notre Dame has been just wacky and mistake-prone in the red zone, unable to finish drives. Wisconsin, we saw especially in that first half against Penn State, having issues. I think both teams will improve there. Wisconsin played their best opponent in week one, which you can understand mistakes. You can understand uneven, inconsistent play. Notre Dame, the better part of me, the more optimistic part of me wants to believe that they haven't want to show anything against Purdue and Toledo in preparation for this game, that things are going to be a little bit more open in this game. I like Notre Dame's defense. I don't love Notre Dame's defense. I like the back end especially, right? Kyle Hamilton is a gravitational player that has to be accounted for at all times. But I like Notre Dame's defense enough to the point where I'm more comfortable with their combination of quarterback and defense because, I don't know, what is your big Graham Mertz performance ever?
No, I know. I mean, it might be week one of last year.
Right, and that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. So I think Jack Cohn, and to whatever extent maybe they use Tyler Buchner situationally, are in a better place. Notre Dame has two running backs, and Ches Malusi's fine so far. We'll see. Notre Dame has two running backs who can affect things and generate bigger plays. They have probably the best offensive weapon in this game in Michael Mayer, right? Yes?
I think that's fair.
Most dependable
yeah.
offensive skill player, and they've had a receiver step up in Avery Davis. That's who is the guy stepping up, yes?
Avery Davis, Kevin Austin, if Jack Cohn can throw the ball anywhere near his catch radius, I think Kevin Austin
right.
is in line for...
Okay.
They have guys, right? They have guys, but it just doesn't seem like they're fully in sync yet. And that was a huge question going into the season. Who's going to catch passes outside of Michael Mayer? You've had different guys step up at different points so far this season, but ultimately getting on the same page with Jack Cohn, the sooner that happens, the better for this offense.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Notre Dame's going to be, even with a new defensive coordinator, I guess I would like Notre Dame more if Clark Lee was still there and Jeremiah, I forget. I've never been able to with
his Koromoa.
Thank you. If he was still there. I'm going to go with Notre Dame protecting themselves these last couple weeks and doing a poor job of it, obviously. And I think they show more on offense. I think they're going to step up. Brian Kelly has been better against ranked teams. Save your laughs. I know the playoff results. Better against ranked teams in these spots than Paul Christ has been against the spread these last few years. So I think Notre Dame's just a better team. This was a playoff team last year. And I'm not a believer in Wisconsin's offense. Sorry.
One thing, and this is the final note.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see. And we heard a lot about it in the preseason and everyone kind of furrowed their brow. Like, how's he going to pull this one off? But I do think this is a game where we could see a lot of both Chris Tyree and Kyren Williams in the backfield at the same time.
Great.
I think quick passes, swing passes, stuff like that to get those guys in space. That's one way. There are multiple ways, right? You can put a guy in a slot. Chris Tyree could play in the slot and take a screen pass, that sort of thing. But I think some of those quick passes to get the ball out of Jack Cohn's hands, you're going to see more of that if only out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Then they're just going to have to, because the line, I do not think, can hold back Wisconsin. I got 21-17. What's your final?
I have 24-20 Notre Dame.
Wow. Okay. Well, we agree on the margin, but disagree on the result.
Yep.
Moving on. Let's go to 3:30. ESPN Clemson is a 10-point road favorite at NC State.
Mm-hmm.
So some news this week, Tyler Davis, the talented lineman for the Tigers, he's going to miss up to 8 weeks. He has a torn biceps, which sounds really painful. I'm sure it is.
Yes,
it is. He was, of course, expected to play a pretty key role along that defensive front for Clemson. Clemson will be fine up there, but it is notable since Tyler Davis is, you know, a name that I think they were looking forward to seeing more out of.
One of the anchors of that defense. Yeah.
Also, Lynn J. Dixon has entered the transfer portal, kind of fell out of favor with the coaching staff after some disciplinary issues prior to week one, didn't play. And obviously last week we saw a little bit more out of Will Shipley.
So yeah, had a good week in Georgia Tech, yeah.
I think Lynn J. Dixon making the best move for him, but notable things on the Clemson side. So as it presently stands, Dan, I looked up and down the Clemson schedule. I think this is their toughest remaining game.
Yeah, depending on how you feel about what, at Pitt?
It's either NC State or Pitt.
Yeah.
And Pitt just got dumped by Western Michigan. So take that for whatever it's worth. This is really important. because I think we're at a place where the ground has shifted a little bit beneath Clemson. And we've got all of our top teams showing some vulnerability, some more, some less, but everybody seems more gettable than they have been in recent years. If we are truly inching into chaos territory, and if we get there and strength of schedule means something, means a lot more than it has recently, Clemson needs to show out against some of these teams. They need to get as many points on the board as they can. They need to be killers out there. Because
so you're putting Clemson in a playoff conversation with strength of schedule right now? If you're comparing, like, this is the context you're putting Clemson in right now?
I'm saying they got to win these games and they got to do so handily. Because if they are in that playoff discussion, which I'm not convinced they will be.
I don't think they will be.
These are the games that are going to matter. Against NC State on the road, against Pitt on the road. Clemson does not have a game against a team in the AP Top 25 at time of recording for the rest of the year. So they got to make these count. They can't be beating teams 14-8 like they did last week against Tech. They just can't. Where are you at in this game?
I'm going home dog here. And that is saying, that is all to say, I know Clemson has not allowed a touchdown this year. Is that correct?
Not. They have not. No.
The Clemson defense, specifically, because Georgia had the pick six, they have not allowed an offensive touchdown, which is a pretty striking thing 3 weeks into the season. Granted, you look at their schedule, and other than the Georgia game, yes, they did not allow a touchdown to Georgia Tech. I'm worried about this Clemson offense. I'm worried about the line. I'm worried about DJU and his rhythm with the receivers. I'm worried that they don't have, and I know Justin Ross is back, but they don't have the collection of skill talent guys right now to put the fear of life like they have in years past.
Wow.
Into teams. I'm worried about that a little. They just the receiving core as a group, it looks different. I think the offense is, I don't know, it looked a little bit sluggish. Like, if we're talking about Clemson as, and this is now going back weeks, but if we're talking about Clemson in a playoff context, they should be favored by more against NC State, a team that hasn't really proven anything this year. And they would have scored a touchdown against Georgia. Maybe the other best defense in the country. I hear you. A touchdown. And so I'm worried about this offense. I think they're going to be fine. But I think, I don't know if heads are going to roll or anything like that, but I think things are going to need to be reevaluated to make life easier for DJU.
Well,
because as it stands right now, he looks uncomfortable.
So what's your final? Is Clemson winning this game, or are they just not
covering? Yeah, I think Clemson wins this game. What's the line at the moment?
I have it
11 points.
Yeah.
Okay. I have NC State. I have that defense making it close enough. If Georgia Tech's defense, granted there were delays and weather, whatever, Georgia Tech's defense, quote unquote, showed something that Clemson wasn't expecting. Like they were dropping a bunch of dudes and like cloud coverage. I think NC State's defense is better.
Wow.
I think NC State's defense is considerably better than Georgia Tech's.
Yeah.
And so I think they're going to confuse Clemson. I'm going to take the points here. I think 28 to 20 or not even 20. I don't think they're going to score 20 points. So I'm saying 23-13. Does that cover it? I don't know. 21-13.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll say 21-13. And
wow.
I think Clemson's different. I think they're fine. I just think they're kind of a 9-3, 10-2. Even with that schedule. Yeah. We'll say a disappointing 10-2. Yeah. I don't know where it's coming from. I couldn't tell you. Look, they might go 11-1. They've already lost one. So saying 10-2 is not a big deal.
Right.
That means they're just dropping one of these, you know, games to a decent opponent, but nothing really good.
Jeez, man.
I'm telling you, something's off with this Clemson offense. I can only go with my eyeballs.
It's fair criticism, and I don't think you're alone. When I put this document together, the line came out at 11. I saw it as low as 9 at one point, so it's kind of settled now with Clemson 10, but I think other people were seeing that too and saying that's just a lot of points at home against a Clemson offense that we just don't really know enough about at this point. Also, it should not be understated. This is a gigantic spot for NC State.
Sure.
Huge spot for NC State. They went on the road. They looked like crap against Mississippi State. 10 years ago, They beat Clemson at home. That was the Tom O'Brien era. It was the last time they beat Clemson. So right. This is kind of like...
Nearly did it a few years ago.
Nearly did it a couple years ago. But this is a big spot for them. I look back at last week. It was a weird game. And I think to myself, if that did not light a fire under this collection of five-star talent, I don't know what will. I think from a picks perspective, people want to pick NC State because people like picking underdogs. It's fun to root against the perennial favorite. If we are being honest with ourselves, though, there is no reason Clemson shouldn't cover this point spread, Dan. And I say
You're saying 2021 Clemson? What do we...
There's no reason with the talent that they have that they should not cover this point spread. And I say that as somebody who's been very high on NC State. You know this all season long, even before the year. Clemson's defense is three games in, as you said. The front seven is a brick wall. And it's going to be able to, I think, take away the strength of this NC State offense, which is the running game.
Yeah. Sonovan Knight person. Yep.
And that's exactly what Mississippi State did, frankly. They turned it over to Devin Leary. He had to throw the ball nearly 50 times. They still only managed 10 points in that game. I like Devin Leary, but if this offense turns that one-dimensional against Clemson, forget it. So I think they're going to have trouble moving the football, even despite the loss of Tyler Davis. They'll be fine up front. Clemson's defense is a brick wall. Can NC State's defense make life difficult for DJU? Yeah, I think there's some validity to that as well. This is a very good defense. But even if they hold Clemson to 21 points, this is where...
Tony Gibson? Tony Gibson's the D coordinator now of NC State, right? An interesting track record. I like him.
If they hold Clemson to 21 points, it'd be amazing. But even if they hold them to, say, 21 points, are we confident NC State can score more than 10? I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I've got Clemson 27-7. And I don't know if it looks pretty or not. It may not. But I think defensively, people are selling this Clemson defense up the river, man. I get it. I get it on offense. They got some stuff to work out. That was probably always going to be the case when you move away from Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Maybe we thought it'd be better at this point, but Will Shipley looked very promising a week ago. I'm not ready to bail on this team quite yet. It is not the same Clemson team. You are right about that, but Clemson wins. They cover 27-7, led by defense.
Do you think they go through unscathed, that they finish as an 11-1 team in the conversation for the playoff?
Unclear. We need that scratch and sniff this week, Dan. I'm not sure yet.
This, by the way, if you are down on Clemson, I wouldn't qualify what I am as down on Clemson. I just am looking at them, I think, in a similar way to you. It's just like something different, something off.
Yeah.
There's so much value in betting against Clemson this
year. Oh, yeah. Big time.
This is when you really have to, if you believe it, the lines are going to be inflated for a good chunk of the year. And, you know, maybe Clemson is merely very good and not great because of that defense, and they're just not going to cover because they're going to get a lot of benefit from Vegas.
Yeah. But no, it's true.
Yeah. I think this is the biggest thing. I don't know what the weather is if you want to pull up the weather report for Raleigh. I do go Cardinal Bar here, by the way. Home dog. Looks excellent. Like, you want a chili dog and like a buttered split top bun? Cardinal Bar. Looks amazing.
Okay.
In Raleigh. I don't know. There's an element to these top teams, to Alabama, to Clemson and Ohio State, where there's this expectation where, like, next killer up at quarterback, right? So it's like Dwayne Haskins, next killer up. Justin Fields, next killer up. CJ Stroud, struggling. You know, just not the same. Good, but not the same. And there's this element of Clemson with whatever, Taj Boyd, and eventually Deshaun Watson after, Cole Stout. Kelly Bryant was fine, but was not the killer. But then Trevor Lawrence, where just like there's this expectation, like, who's the next Trevor Lawrence? It's DJU, of course. Whereas Trevor Lawrence is like a generational talent coming out of high school. So I think it's, you know, our fault as fans for just making an assumption about, you know, this is Clemson's new capital G guy, where I think it's going to take some time to figure out how to craft an offense around him and not that he can just do whatever is asked. So that's why I'm rolling with the good defense at home in what I expect to be a very difficult atmosphere. Nice and clear, by the way, in Raleigh, 77, partly cloudy. That's fine. It's great.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CBS 330, Texas A&M, -5.5 neutral site game in Jerry's World in Arlington against the Arkansas Razorbacks, Dan. So this is a, I think, fair to say, much bigger game than we expected just a few short weeks ago. A, we've got A&M without Haynes King still recovering from his injury. Both teams are 3-0. Arkansas is a top 25 team, which is awesome for them.
Yeah.
KJ Jefferson, I think, looks really good. The line opened at 6.5. It's down a point. For what it's worth, our people, our ballers, excuse me, over in the Discord have been saying that 5.5 feels like a lot of points. How do you feel about this line?
I love the Hogs.
Of course. I mean, you do.
I'm not going to say it's St. Bernard Saturday, and with arguably the hottest contested matchup these past few years, it's been, you know, neutral site game, but just weird matchups. Even when Arkansas is down, they bring their best for Texas A&M. We're getting Barry Odom and the best explosive play prevention defense against a backup quarterback for an A&M offense that has struggled at times. He was fine last week. I think it was New Mexico that they shut out. The strength of this A&M team very clearly is the defense. It's an incredible defense. They have playmakers on offense, but they're going to win games largely because of their defense and, I guess, not screwing up on offense with a backup quarterback. Zach Calzada seems fine, but he wasn't named the starter. He's not the best they have. So situationally, I think Arkansas will keep it low scoring. They'll run the ball well enough with various options, including KJ Jefferson. And I think Arkansas's front on defense is going to annoy A&M up front, their offensive line. I like the Hogs. I like, situationally, neutral site, good defense, great defensive coordinator, ability to run the ball, energy, enthusiasm. I think A&M is a good team. I'm going Hogs here.
Man,
you give me those elements as a dog? Come on, gobble, gobble.
Big
I'm ready.
Dog Dan over there, huh? Okay.
Sauerkraut Saturday.
Listen.
Listen.
When you look at the numbers, everything, right now screams Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Screams Arkansas. Plus, they've looked good. They really have. A&M lost the quarterback. If you don't think that is going to stir up some public support for Arkansas, nothing will. But we here at the altar of Ty, we're always sound.
Totem of Ty?
Totem of Ty.
Yeah.
We're always sound. We're always rational. That's why we picked Arizona State as a legit Pac-12 contender. No one else did, just us. The altar of Ty.
The Arizona State team that just lost to BYU.
Da, 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 da. Texas A&M is my buzzkill.
16 penalties? 16 penalties?
A&M is my buzzkill pick of the week. Swat that fly. I'm being facetious about Arizona State, by the way. I don't know if that came across here. My sarcasm voice. Forgive me, Daniel, if I am not moved by games against Rice and Georgia Southern. Forgive me, Dan. I'm sorry. Forgive me if I'm not particular.
Did they not destroy Texas?
Forgive me if I am not moved.
Over that?
Oh, Texas has been Mr. Softy for a decade now. You think they're running for 330 some odd yards against this A&M front?
No, of course not.
I don't think so either.
But they're good.
They're not going to be able to push A&M around like the other cupcakes on this schedule, Dan.
Okay, so what happens if Arkansas wins?
What happens if they win? It'd be great. Good for them.
Will that convince you, right? Their schedule hasn't convinced you thus far. Texas hasn't convinced you. Or are you going to say, well, it was against a backup quarterback?
No.
Like, are you going to turn over a new leaf and respect the Hogs?
I do respect the Hogs.
I don't think you do.
I respect the Hogs. I don't think they're winning this game. I think the defense is too good. A&M is good enough up front to take away the run. They're going to take away the run. They're going to spy KJ Jefferson. They're going to make him win it with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen enough of KJ Jefferson to know if he can do that. I hope he can. I'm rooting for him to do that. But no, come on. What's the line? Five and a half?
Did you see enough of A&M barely escaping a game against Colorado? Did you see, did that not move you to any
We're not here to talk about the past. We're here to talk about the future.
You literally just were talking about Arkansas' schedule.
A&M's the better team.
Okay.
With better players on both offense and defense. The defense is a brick freaking wall. Ignore the noise. People listening at home, ignore that guy over there.
Mm-hmm.
Big Dog Dan. This is going to be a rough game for KJ Jefferson. Woo, pig, fooey. Give me A&M to win outright. I think they cover the spread by two touchdowns. It will be interesting, though. Will be interesting to see what Arkansas does in their next four games, because they've got A&M this week. They're at Georgia, at Ole Miss, and then back home against Auburn. So four really big weeks here for this Hog squad, but I really like A&M here.
Okay, we disagree. I'm not going to do a home dog because neither team is technically playing at home.
That's correct.
Sorry.
7:30 ABC. We got West Virginia going on the road at Oklahoma. Oklahoma favored by 16 points, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this line so low? You think this is too low?
Why is this line too low?
Do you think it's too low?
No.
Why?
I don't think it's too low. I mean, Lincoln Riley Oklahoma teams don't cover. They're not they're a toss-up team covering the spread. It's not like they've proven themselves like Alabama or Georgia or any of these teams that these past few years have really run away from perceived lesser teams. Oklahoma doesn't cover. I think Lincoln Riley's hovering somewhere around 50% as like a home favorite. So no, I don't think it's a crazy line. I think West Virginia is a hot and cold team. I think they're able to make plays on defense. They're able to run the ball. I just think there's an element to this game where Oklahoma's trying to tell us they're merely good, not great.
they're like on the hostage video, blinking Morse code to tell us.
Right. Like, it's one of those things as well. It's the next killer up, right? Where we're comparing Spencer Rattler, probably justifiably so, to Kyler Murray, to Baker Mayfield, and to Jalen Hurts, who, and I talked about this, I will be appearing on the Andy Staples show tomorrow, I think it goes up, or today as you're listening, I don't know, Wednesday. We talked about this on the show, where Spencer Rattler is being appreciated because of his supreme arm talent and ability to make the throws that he can make.
And the logo. Don't forget the logo.
And the snake logo.
Thank you.
What if he is merely really good and not transcendent? And I think there's this element to Oklahoma right now where they operate in fits and starts, where they can be stopped, where the running game isn't where it was with the killers that they used to have. And they don't have, and I've been saying this over and over again, they have good receivers. Do they have a gravitational one? Is it Marvin Mims, whoever? Jaden Hazelwood? It doesn't appear so. It doesn't appear so at the moment. So I think West Virginia is above average enough that they can keep this to within a couple touchdowns. You might look at it as a net crack game. You're confused by the low line. Lincoln Riley is not dependable in terms of blowing out competent teams. So I'm going to take the points. I think they win this by a couple touchdowns, but it's too many points.
I feel like the line's too low. And okay. I know that per my own code, that would be a rule to indication to steer into it and take West Virginia. I just don't buy it. I don't
West Virginia is not as good on the road, for sure.
No,
I understand
not.
Where you're at.
They're not. Oklahoma had a down week against a decent enough defense in Nebraska a week ago. Nebraska had a very clear game plan. They took away the big play. That could be a blueprint for other teams. I don't know. We'll see what West Virginia is able to do in this road game. But I don't see Oklahoma being held under like 35 points two straight weeks. I don't see it. I am not at all convinced on this West Virginia offense outside of Letty Brown. Letty Brown's really good. But Jarrett Dagey on the road, big night game in Norman. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I think it's like a 21-point win for Oklahoma. If you want to bet against Oklahoma, by the way, the week to do that's next week on the road at K-State, a week before the Red River shootout. Sure. Even though it's a bit of a revenge spot for them. I understand that. I think that would be the week to bet against Oklahoma, but not this week. Not in prime time. I think last week gave them a sufficient enough scare that they will come out guns a-blazing. So I got Oklahoma, you know, like 42-17. I think they win handily.
Lincoln Riley, 10-11 as a home favorite since 2018. And in terms of hitting the over, if that's something more attractive to you, because you mentioned 35 points, that you don't see them scoring fewer than that. Oklahoma is 25-16 overall, hitting the over since 2018. And as a home favorite, Oklahoma is 14-6. So if you like Oklahoma in this one, maybe the over is the move. Maybe.
You're the mayor of Trend City over there,
come
aren't
on,
you?
Come on. Old fast Dan Rubenstein. Yeah.
Let's go some quick hits here real quick. We got a bunch of other games that we want to discuss. Let's talk about the Iron Skillet game, Daniel.
Was this the game that actually inspired you to get into cast iron? Was that a tangent that we went on because of this matchup? Because now you're a cast iron chef du jour.
I am a cast iron chef du jour.
Yeah.
I don't think it was this game in particular.
Okay.
I think I bought an iron skillet and I did not know the nuances of it, that you need to oil it and caress it and be nice to it and take care of it as if it were a living creature.
For your sear it Saturday.
That's right. And now that I know that, I'm kind of hooked.
Good.
But it's a great tie into this game. It's at high noon. It's SMU. It's TCU. TCU's about a 10-point home favorite. They do play this one for the Iron Skillet, a really cool rivalry trophy. SMU, you'll recall, won on the quasi Hail Mary last week to keep themselves unbeaten.
It was a Hail Mary. Yeah.
Yeah. Tanner Mordecai, by the way, leads the country. He has 16 touchdown passes in three games. Did you know that?
I did not. Good for him. Happy to hear it.
I really like SMU's talent on offense. And I really like TCU on offense as well, especially Zach Evans. I like TCU to win the game. I'm not sure about the 10 points. I could see this one being back and forth. I'm still not, for as much as I love TCU and Zach Evans and Max Duggan and Gary Patterson, I am not at all convinced in their ability to separate. They couldn't separate against Cal. And that's troublesome.
Correct.
Cal's got a better defense than SMU, to be fair.
Cal's defense is not all that great this year, but continue.
Still better than SMU's.
Yeah.
Rivalry game, TCU wins, but they don't cover the 10.
I think I agree with you. I just don't know anything about TCU. They've played two games. They're coming off of a bye week before a rivalry game. I think I'm going to roll with the Frogs here, and I hate that I'm doing it. But because I don't know any, like, we know the Cal game. That's it. That's all we have to go on right now. And so
you need that scratch and sniff, right?
But there is a belief system element to taking TCU here. There's a letdown element, but they're not going to be let down ahead of a rivalry game against a Big 12 team. But there's a letdown element just in terms of emotional exhaustion after winning the way that SMU did, and TCU is coming off of a bye week, so there's a rest advantage. Belief system and situationally, I like TCU. I just haven't seen anything in the last couple of years that has me thinking TCU is double digits better than a decent team.
You should pick SMU here.
I'm still going back and forth. I didn't have a decision going into it. I mean, I've highlighted on my sheet SMU.
Okay.
But I'm talking myself into TCU, and that's where things go wrong. Give me the Mustangs here.
12 p.m. ABC, Texas Tech at Texas, another Lone Star State showdown. Texas favored by 8.5. This one opened around 10.5, 11, and got hammered down to 8.5. I was actually pretty high on Tech before the start of the season because I think the defense could actually be sneaky good. If I remember correctly, the Vegas over-under for Tech for wins was something like 4.5, which I felt low. It to me, that always felt like the worst case scenario. They've already got 3 wins. I don't know if they beat Texas. I think they can hang with Texas. I really do. Okay. Tyler Shuck looked good last week. Not the same level of talent on the other side of the field, for sure. But I just think I like points here more than anything. I'm not sure what version of Texas we get. Texas Tech is probably good enough to bottle up that run game to some extent. And if they can do that, what is Casey Thompson or Hudson Card or whoever is out there for Texas look like throwing the football into a halfway decent defense? So give me the points.
I think I'm going to take points as well. It worries me a little that they got things going with a different quarterback. And it's a similar situation, right, with Stanford, where you're like, well, they didn't look good in week one, but was it a Jack West thing because they've looked a lot better with Tanner McKee? Man. The improved, we believe Texas Tech defense, they've played what Houston, FIU, and Stephen F. Austin. I can be talked into the fact that they didn't show anything against Stephen F. Austin, but they were pretty mistake prone in escaping that game with a win. You're believing in a Texas team that's given you no real reason to believe. You said it opened in double digits and it was bet down to like 8.5.
Yep.
I think I'm just going to go Tech in a shootout, take the points.
This is feeling like an insecure Dan Saturday right now.
It is insecure. Well, I'm taking another dog, but not a home dog.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
The Texas tackling issues. Now, the thing is, Tech can quietly run the ball, we think, hopefully. And that could prove to be a problem because Texas just, it's a greased pig situation with what they're doing in the open field. So, yeah, that is a known quality that Texas hasn't fixed yet to me. So I'm going to go with Texas Tech to score enough to, I think Texas wins this game because it's at home. I think they'll win by 4 to 6 points. So something like 38-34. But I'm going to take the points.
All right, we got other games to get through. Let's go through them. Okay. Rutgers at Michigan. Michigan favored by 18.5 points, Dan.
Lock of the week.
This is one of two games that Michigan won last year. We all got a good belly laugh at their expense otherwise, but...
Barely won this game last year.
Rutgers was feisty, weren't they?
They were.
They were feisty. Something like 48-42. I think there's a good chance that Michigan absolutely destroys Rutgers in game by like 35 points. They have been so good on the ground. Rutgers has been a good story, but I just think Michigan's in a different place right now. They're very much playing within themselves. Maybe that will change as they get into the teeth of their schedule. I know the competition far hasn't been top flight, but they did play Washington against good Washington defense. And they scored 31 points. I feel really good about where this Michigan team's at. I think they're going to run the crap out of the ball, and I think they're going to pound Rutgers.
You're not impressed with Rutgers 3-0 at the moment?
It's just a sample size thing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's Temple, Syracuse, Delaware. I like Michigan a good deal here. If Rutgers was winning with stout defense, they get off the field pretty well, but again, it's sample size in the teams that they've actually played. They haven't been great against the run. I think Michigan quite literally runs away with it. I have it 55-14.
I had to kill them. Yeah. Absolutely kill them. So we agree.
But
finally,
they do. It is a look ahead spot, to be fair. They're at Wisconsin the week after, correct?
Even if it's a look ahead spot.
Even if it's a look ahead spot. Foot off the brake, foot off the brake up a couple touchdowns late, you know? I don't know.
No. I'm all in on Michigan this week as my first of two Michigan locks. Not to give too much away.
Oh, my God. I love it. Continue.
3:30, Iowa State minus 7.5 at Baylor. Where's my sound?
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
I don't know if they got a Yakko's in Waco, but maybe they should start one. We haven't talked much about Baylor because they've played Texas State, Texas Southern, and Kansas so far. Speaking of limited sample size, I don't know what to make of this offense. It's really hard to say given that competition, but
they run the ball. That's the
offense. Run the ball on a per play basis. I know the defense has actually been pretty good, better than Iowa State's. And I would also keep in mind that this is a game that Baylor lost by 7 on the road last year. They're feisty in this game a year ago. I am concerned about the Iowa State offense and Brock Purdy. And I think Baylor will come to play. I've got the Dave Aranda defense at home to cover this point spread to win the freaking game outright. Give me Baylor.
You know what I love about you? I mean, everything. But this specifically, Ty previews Baylor. I am down on Baylor. I don't see Baylor playing well in big games at all. Baylor plays nobody and looks okay in two of those three games. Up at halftime, barely against Kansas.
Totem
they
of tie
with it in the second
totem,
half.
Do not question the totem of tie.
They sneak by Texas State. Maybe sneak by is a little aggressive, but that was not a pretty win. And they beat up on Texas Southern. So here we are with a Baylor team that has been sort of one note on offense and has beaten up on nobody. And Ty has completely reversed his stance on Baylor with no worthwhile evidence that would point you to believing to do so. I'm just going to take Iowa State here. I think this is a scratch and sniff game. I think you have been seduced by meaningless results. And Iowa State has been fine. They lost to an Iowa team that probably has one of the best three defenses in the country, seven defenses in the country, whatever it is.
And you know what? To be fair, Iowa State looked really good against Northern Iowa, too, to start the year. I forgot about that game. They were really solid.
They didn't look great.
16-10, something like that.
Took it to UNLV last week. But like, what is your reason? If this is a Tracy Chapman question posed to you, what is your reason for Baylor against Iowa State specifically? Is there a matchup? Do you think they're going to run all over Iowa State's defense? Because it's not like Iowa succeeded against Iowa State's defense. It was field position, it was turnover situation, whatever, which is part of the game. But it's not like Iowa State appeared to be really good heading into the season and then was gashed all the time by Northern Iowa or Iowa or wherever. Their defense is really good.
It is. Why does Iowa State look so damn flat? They had the world at their fingertips going into the season, and they've looked like freaking flat soda for the first 3 weeks of the year. Brock Purdy got pulled.
He did.
Once, and his backup played again a week later, which is fine, but he has not looked at all the party like the Brock star that we've talked about in the past. He's looked very shaky. And so I just think on some level, you're going on the road to a place where, say what you want about Baylor, and I have. I was not a Baylor fan going into the year. I'm still not really a big Baylor fan, but they are playing hard. They were feisty last year. I think they're feisty again this year. I don't know what their offense is going to be, but I think the defense is good enough to at least make this a game. So I got him outright.
Have fun with that. We disagree. Iowa State wins this game by a couple touchdowns.
6 p.m. UCLA. I have 5.5 on my sheet. I saw it at 4. I don't know where this line's at. But their favorite.
By the way, recommendation for you is, I think, Dave's Burger Barn in Waco, since you're all in on the home dog.
We go to 6 p.m. UCLA. -5.5. -4 I saw at one point. I don't know what the line is. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Favorite on the road at Stanford. What do you make of this one? I went all off season long thinking that Stanford was going to stink.
Yeah.
And they've surprised me. They've looked okay. I think at first blush, I definitely like UCLA here. Played a good team last week. Probably should have won that game if not for the defense sort of bailing on them
if not
in the last
for
40
half
seconds.
Of their team.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. I don't think that Stanford has the offense of Fresno. And so for that reason, I guess I go UCLA, but I could probably be talked out of that.
Tanner McKee is really good. And it's another season for Stanford in which they're like the 128th best rushing team efficiency wise and the number one explosive rushing team. Back to like the Bryce Love numbers. Nathaniel Pete has been really fun to watch. You're right in your evaluation of Stanford that they don't necessarily have the firepower on offense to me out wide, perhaps, that Fresno does. And I'm not a fan of Stanford's defense, so I am taking UCLA to bounce back here. And now I understand, you know, I don't know if it's a letdown situation, but an emotional loss last week to Fresno, the way that they lost last second. They thought they had the game won and gave up that sort of stop route touchdown late. I think UCLA is just a better team. Stanford's not a terribly difficult place to play. I think UCLA is well coached. I think they're good on the lines. I'm not going to abandon Zach Charbonnet if he's healthy, whatever. I'm just going to go with the better team here in a place that I don't think is terribly difficult to win. So, yeah, give me the Bruins.
7 p.m., we've got K-State on the road at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State favored by 6, Dan. This one opened at 9 and came down. The Pokes are 3-0, but they've beaten Missouri State, Tulsa, and Boise by a combined 13 points. So they've won, but separating from those teams has been a real problem. They've also got injury concerns. Now, I haven't seen an update on their wide receiving core. I don't know if they're going to be back in a little bit more healthy than they were against Boise. But just as like a personal rule here, I don't think I'm taking Oklahoma State to cover anything until they're a little healthier from a skill talent standpoint on offense. So I think they win. I don't know that for sure. I'm much more confident just going points here in K-State.
Extremely close game last year with a beat up K-State. Oklahoma State does not score a second half touchdown or any points at all against Boise State, correct? Will Howard looked decent enough as a dual threat guy last week, and they still have the short Deuce Vaughn. I'm just impressed with what Kansas State's been doing at the line of scrimmage. Now, granted, it was Nevada. Different talent level, whatever. Their offense is really strong, no pun intended. I am going to go K-State here to cover this game. I think Oklahoma State pulls it out. They win it by a field goal or something like that. I think it's low scoring, and it's another 2018-21-17 type final. So I'm going to take the points. Not a home dog, unfortunately, but St. Bernard Saturday continues.
7 p.m., Nebraska at Michigan State. Michigan State favored by 5.
Lock of the week.
Let's go Sparty, baby. I am riding the Sparty train. I think if this game were at noon, I might worry about some kind of hangover effect after that Miami game. I don't know. But it's a nightcap. They're going to be fired up for the Big Ten opener. I do think this will be a close game most of the way. And I really, truly think that Nebraska is okay. But they're just... Okay. Too much of a one-trick pony for me on offense right now. It's just Adrian Martinez or bust.
Scrambling, yeah.
I don't like that strategy, especially when you're going up against a team like Michigan State, which, look, Michigan State's not going to go 12-0. They're probably not going to go 10-2. They might not even go 8-4. But one thing you can definitively say about the Spartans right now is that they're playing really good team football. Really good team football. Sure. They're getting contributions from a bunch of different guys. It's not just... you know, running back or quarterback. I mean, they're really playing well together. And I like that matchup much more than anything else here. So you're giving me a team in Nebraska on the road, still sort of reeling a little bit. Maybe they've got a hangover.
Second straight road game.
Yeah, after the Oklahoma game. They are very one-dimensional on offense. They're only going to go as far as Adrian Martinez can take them. And then there's Michigan State, who I think is just fired up. And they're playing so well as a team right now. I'll lay the 5. I don't know what the final is here. I do think it's close for most of this game, but I'm going to say Michigan State 31-21 to win and cover.
Okay. I believe Michigan State to be the better, more complete team in this matchup. I'm taking the points.
Why?
I am downgrading the Northwestern win, which is to no fault of Michigan State, but just in terms of our view of Michigan State, to go to Northwestern, who won the West last year, and to score, what, nearly 40 in a comfortable win, we thought, man, Michigan State has turned a corner. We don't know what Miami is at this point, right?
No.
They haven't looked good at all this year. And the fact of the matter is, it was a close game in the first half. It was actually a close game coming out of the third quarter. And Michigan State, as good teams do, as good teams should do, they score on two pretty short, like a 13-yard field and a 20-yard field or something like that, to make the final score what it was. Again, that's right. What good teams do. But I don't necessarily know if that was indicative of the general tenor of that game. So I think Michigan State is good, but perhaps being looked at a little too favorably given the context that we now know about their season. Once again, I believe Michigan State is the better team. But I'm a believer in Nebraska's defense. As Bill Connolly put it, one bad quarter against Illinois should not define who they can be all year long. And Michigan State hasn't been great against the pass this year. They've been good big picture wise, getting off the field, red zone, forcing turnovers. I just think there are going to be times where Michigan State comes back to earth inexplicably with some new faces, whatever. So I think it's one of those elements. Maybe it's a letdown spot going to Miami and winning, big emotional situation. I think Nebraska is too good to just go like 2-10. So I think if Michigan State was truly a team that Vegas believed in, they'd be 7.5, 8.5 point favorites here, right? At home against a team that in Nebraska that isn't winning much. So I just think we are jumping the gun a little bit. And scratch and sniff is actually applicable to this game as well. So I'm going to take the points here. I actually think Nebraska wins this game by a field goal.
Really?
Yeah.
You like that?
I think this is where there's, I mean, we say this the first few weeks of the season, but yeah, I like them outright. I think the line is odd to me, so I'm steering into it.
That's crazy. I'm seeing 99% of the money on Michigan State. So maybe you are right. Maybe you're on to something.
Yeah. There is that element that Michigan State's record stands atop a little bit of quicksand at the moment.
Okay. Two quick SEC games here before we call it a day. We've got Tennessee at Florida. This is a 7 p.m. game. Tennessee is a 20-point dog. I think it could be hangover city for Florida.
Yep, agree.
I think it could be hangover city for Florida. After nearly beating Alabama, again, they lost 31-29. It was a hell of an effort. Plus, I think the Volunteers are actually somewhat undervalued at this point. I think they're being overlooked. Florida's going to win this game, but 20 points is a lot. So I'm on Tennessee plus the number.
Fully agree. I think Tennessee's defense is interesting. They will take hits this week, but I think they can lose this game by 15 to 18 points, something like that. Hendon Hooker, I think, is going to be the guy. And I think he throws a better ball than Joe Milton. And even though Tennessee has issues, I think they're competent enough to lose this game by 2.5 touchdowns.
Like 41-27, something like that.
In a hangover spot. Yep.
Yeah. And finally, ESPN2, 7 p.m., Kentucky, a 5-point road favorite at South Carolina. I kind of went back and forth on this one. I don't really have a great read on either team. Kentucky, what they've done on offense has been really exciting under Liam Cohen.
Until last week, yes.
Until last week. Last week wasn't a great showing.
Yeah.
But I think by and large, the combo of Liam Cohen and Will Levis and Wandale Robinson, like there's a lot to be very excited about there. I don't know why the line isn't higher. And I think that's why I'm a little spooked here, because the South Carolina offense is bad. Mm-hmm. It's bad. They're in transition.
I mean, they change quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, maybe it'll get better now. Yeah. With Luke Doty, who knows? But, are people betting on Shane Beamer's vibe? Because he's got a cool vibe. We retweeted a fun video of him talking about the Georgia front and what they were up against last week. I'm just going to not overthink this and go Kentucky minus whatever.
I'm going to go Kentucky as well. You have to have something that you like about South Carolina as a home dog in order to take them. And look, maybe people see something they like that I don't see, and I'll just be wrong. But I'm seeing a little more from Kentucky at the moment. And, maybe Luke Doty gets his sea legs back under him, whatever. I just don't see it. Sorry.
Some real quick mentions here. I don't know. Yeah. You could pick it if you want to. I just want to get these on the record. Mizzou minus 2 at Boston College at noon. We've got, Wolf is right. We've got at noon, Boise minus 9 at Utah State, which is notable.
I'm taking Utah State there.
Yeah, I think I would have too.
I like their quarterback. I like their coach. It's Elevation Station. Now, Boise State's at elevation, but it's now even higher elevation coming off of a loss. Yeah, I'm going Utah State here.
3:30, we've got Louisville.
Louisville.
Minus 2.5 at Florida State. Will Florida State start 0-4? That could be.
Value.
Big
line
time
seems
issues.
Low. Take the Noles. Head to Voodoo Dog. Enjoy your weekend.
7:30, North Carolina minus 11.5 at Georgia Tech. Feels low.
Yeah. Feels low. Georgia Tech starting Jordan Yates over Jeff Sims. It's somewhat promising against Clemson in a no touchdown effort. I'm going North Carolina here.
Yeah.
I'm going North Carolina to cover this one.
Too.
I like them.
And 9:30, Cal at Washington. It'd be an interesting spot for Washington. They need to get on the board in a big way. 7 points, though, might be a lot.
Justin Wilhawks has been great against Washington. Washington's offense came alive last week against Arkansas State, but Cal's defense hasn't been where it was, and I think it's a nice situational matchup for Washington with their defense against what has been the strength of Cal's team this year, which has been their offense. I think they'll handle them just fine. I don't have the schedule in front of me. Is it a look-ahead spot for Washington? I think they're going to take Cal seriously because they've struggled against Cal. Washington has Oregon State the following week, so no. I'm going to take Washington here to cover this spread by a couple touchdowns.
Do you have a lock this week, by the way?
Now I do. Iowa State, because I'm just going to steer into the emotion.
Lock of the week.
Double lock of the week. A lock
Clones,
duel.
Baby. Should also mention interesting Wednesday night matchup, Marshall App State in Boone, I believe. Wake, Virginia, Friday night. That's just going to be weird. It's going to end controversially, and it's going to be very strange. Liberty Cuse. Liberty has the opportunity with Malik Willis, one of the better offenses in the country, to beat a Power 5 opponent. UTSA is going to beat Memphis in a letdown spot. I really like UTSA on their defense. And then Oregon State, USC. I like Oregon State against USC.
Outright?
Oregon State is outright.
Wow.
Oregon State, well, maybe not outright. I'll take the points happily, though.
Where's that game?
That game is at SC. With, I don't know what the quarterback situation is for USC, but interim coach, I think Oregon State has his act together. They've got a decent quarterback in Chance Nolan, and Jonathan Smith wills teams to points. He has a smart enough offensive mind. The talent is at a higher level year over year, every year that he has been there. So I don't, what's the spread in the Oregon State USC game?
I'd have to look it up. I don't have it in front of me. Yeah.
12.5 points. Yeah.
Okay.
Oregon State will keep it double digits. USC still has issues to get over as they fell down 14-0 in that game. And finally, just quick favor. Can you drop that big, stanky, coaxing, consuming, coiling drum and fife?
The Pat League is trying to lick its wounds, Dan.
Getting exercise, burning calories. Georgetown at Columbia. Columbia.
Georgetown away from multi-sport field. I have not seen the numbers on Bill Connolly's SP+. We'll have to request that the next time we speak with him.
Yeah.
I do know that he looks at FCS teams, so maybe he can give us some insight here on what, you know, because Phil Steele does the thing, home field advantage. Place like Beaver Stadium might be as much as 5 points, 4.5 points. Multi-sport field, I would think, would have to be like 8, right?
Yeah, I would imagine at least, yeah. I mean,
I'll
that's
go Columbia. Give me Columbia.
Yeah. Colgate-Lehigh. Colgate hosting. Engineers against the Gators, Ty.
I am required by law now to go Lehigh all these games, so give me Mountaineers. Mountaineers?
Yeah, You don't waltz into Hamilton.
I called them the Mountaineers, a natural Venn diagram between the Mountain Hawks and Engineers. Continue.
Crusaders, the clear class of the Pat League, traveling to Monmouth.
Got to go Crusaders,
to the racetrack.
Right? We got to go Crusaders here.
Crusaders. Stony Brook, coming off of the Oregon loss, hosting Fordham on Long Island.
I jotted down here on the sheet that they're playing this game on Hulu Plus, hoping that I would get you on it. I guess I didn't.
This is a great pizza matchup.
Yeah, I'll go Fordham. We got to go Fordham.
I do see the Hulu Plus. It did not faze me. it's a great pizza matchup. I'm going to go Stony Brook here. I like what I saw out of their quarterback last week. He made some plays against the Oregon defense. Penn and the Yetis of Lafayette.
I always go against Lafayette. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Lafayette's not having a good year. I think I'm going to go Quakers. I think I might start picking based on the town that I think has better pizza. And Philly is a really good... Do you know people who went to Penn?
I do.
Have you spent time around the Penn campus?
I have, yeah.
Is it a nice area?
Yeah, it's fine.
Is it... What part of Philly is it?
I don't know what part it's considered, but it's... Okay. It's a good area. Philly's
Would
a
you
town.
Have gotten in if you applied to Penn?
No, come on. No way.
What was your high school GPA?
I don't remember. I was fine. I was fine in school. I did well in school, but I don't
you,
think I was.
You got waitlisted by Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten into Penn. No way.
But if you had Notre Dame ambitions, that's not crazy distant from Penn academically.
I guess not, but no, I wouldn't have gotten into Penn. No chance.
But you had high school friends who got into Penn?
I knew a couple people who got into Penn, yeah.
Were they way smarter than you? Come on, Ty, you're selling yourself short.
Definitely had a higher ranking.
Or way more dedicated. Yeah. Higher ranking. A much more efficient student group that got into Penn. Okay. There were kids from my high school in Southern California who went to Penn.
No. I mean, Penn's a great school. There's no chance I would have gotten into Penn.
Damn. Sorry to hear it, Ty. Sore spot, I guess.
So look.
That's our show.
If you are out and about, if you are truly selecting your own window this Saturday, but you still want to be up to speed with what's going on with the games, check out our friends over on the College Football Blitz, the Wizard, Stephen Hartzell. It's the College Football Red Zone channel, which you
could
find.
Stevie Speedrun.
Yeah, he's amazing. Starts every Saturday at high noon on ESPNU Radio, on Sirius XM Channel 84, the Varsity Network app. Got a bunch of different ways that you can listen, but live whip around coverage, you get every top 25 game and the scoring plays and all the meaningful moments as called by the hometown radio crew.
So good.
So you get that local flavor, just 3 commercial breaks every hour, which means 56 minutes of live play-by-play.
Damn.
College Football Blitz. Good time.
Love it.
That's all I got, Dan. I am parched.
Okay. Do you have any plans this weekend beyond watching football and recording football shows?
I think it's supposed to rain over here,
Man, really?
Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, on that note, I don't really have anything that interesting. SolidSaturday.com, 11 Eastern, Saturday morning. Ty and I having fun answering questions, updating because there are injuries and news. And, you know, I just saw Tim Lester, the Western Michigan head coach, is out with COVID.
Oh, no.
Vaccinated, but breakthrough case. And so, you know, bad stuff, good stuff, whatever happens. And so we're here to update you and update the conversation. 11 a.m. Eastern, solidsaturday.com. It's through our YouTube channel. So you can find it, whatever. You can watch it on your TV, your phone, your iPad, whatever. So excited for that.
And verballers.com, one more time, if you want to help support the show. That is our Patreon. You get access to the Discord server, all of these shows, as well as the live stream of the reaction show on Sunday mornings, which is a ton of fun. 408-VERBAL-1 is the reverb line. Give us a call this weekend. Let us know your thoughts on this Scratch and Sniff Saturday. For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt. We will talk to you all in a few short days. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace. Notre Dame double lock? What? What?
Stop it. Stop it.